Hey, everybody. Who took the bridge down? Was it a foreign attack? Laura Logan believes so. And she is coming with receipts. Also, we have Devin Nunez, who pulled off one of the most successful business transactions in recent memory. And finally, we walk through why college still is a scam and why more and more people agree. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. And get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Laura, welcome to the program. All right, Laura, you have been going viral in the last day, talking about this tragedy and this catastrophe in Baltimore. I want to play a piece of tape for you and have you respond and then talk about what you believe happened with the bridge collapse. Let's begin with cut 39, please.
The FBI, on very first, looking at and assessing this matter from an investigative standpoint, I want to be clear that there is no specific or credible information to suggest that there are ties to terrorism in this incident.
Laura, your response.
Well, it's very interesting language, Charlie. You notice that, first of all, he gives himself an out because he says at this time, right? And then he's very clever to say there's no credible information. So he's not saying there's no information. So you can't, if you come up with information, you can't say then, well, the FBI knows this or they know that. What they're saying is we've determined it's not credible information, but they're leaving the door open. So first of all, they're steering you in a particular direction. They're telling you where they want you to go. They want you not to look at this as a terrorist attack. And also, of course, they're using very specific language with a terrorist attack, because what if this is an attack that was carried out, a cyber attack that was carried out by, you know, for example, someone like China, which is a state adversary. So that would not necessarily be classified as a terrorist attack, right? And so when I listen to that man, and this is from, 35 plus years of experience now, of listening to how people who are in positions of authority and power know how to park their words so that they stay within the lines where you cannot accuse them of this or that, or they cannot be held to account, and they have every out that they need, but they make sure that they get you to go exactly where they want you to go. And one of the ways that you can make this kind of assessment is to begin to understand the tactics that they use. So, for example, the level of effort, time, effort, and resources that they put in to discrediting your information, your work, your reporting, your character, and so on, is usually a reflection of how important it is to them to stop what you're doing, right? So that is, so when I turn on, my computer or my phone and I see I'm being attacked from every direction, that's a very strong indicator that they're putting a high degree and level of effort into discrediting my reporting, not my belief, because this is not based on my beliefs. My beliefs are irrelevant here. This is based on my reporting, which is based on what people with credibility who work in this space, from critical infrastructure to cyber warfare to counterterrorism to, foreign state adversaries and threats on our national security and so on, right? These are experienced professionals. Some of whom actually have worked in Baltimore and have known that harbor, the shipping, maritime shipping, all of these things. They know these things intimately. So what they want to do is now they want to introduce variances, right, that create a system overload. So they dilute what you're saying. This is one of the tactics, is dilution. They do engineered complexity. That's another term, you know, in information warfare, where they're creating things. They want you to think it's so complicated, or it's so sophisticated, or it's you know, maritime shipping is so complex that you couldn't possibly understand it, right? So they engineer a certain degree of complexity to overload you so that you cannot process all these variances, and that dilutes the truth. All of this is meant to redirect you away from what is staring you in the face. And what professionals who work in this space were able to identify, you know, in some cases immediately, some cases it takes investigation, and some of this you will never uncover in an investigation.
So Laura, let's get into the weeds here. You've done a great job of isolating some of the details that show that there's more to the story. And let me just ask you plainly and bluntly, what is your best guess of exactly what occurred here, and what details lead you to that conclusion?
So, Charlie, I don't guess, right? Because I'm a reporter. I'm not, you know, an expert that's coming on the show that's speculating and guessing and telling you this or that. I'm going to tell you what the professionals that I just outlined, who are involved in all different aspects of this space, what they know from their experience, some of them know because they're active right now and they're seeing things. They have access to information that the public doesn't have access to, and they have seen things. So what they have indicated to me, what they have stated to me in multiple different conversations, hours and hours of reporting, is that they have identified this. U.S. intelligence, elements within U.S. intelligence have identified this as a cyber attack. And the way that this is done is using a technique which is called spoofing. So there's a lot of conversation, you know, about the speed the ship was going, that calls were made to emergency services or to the harbor master. And there's a lot of conversation about exactly, you know, all these different variances that happened here. But what they don't want you to talk about, right, because they introduce all these other things so that you will not have a conversation about how this is done. It's a very simple technique, and it's called spoofing in the intelligence community. And basically what you do is you identify what is the GPS signal. We all know this is satellite based, that the ship is using to power its, you know, its GPS and to guide that ship on its course. And you create a more powerful signal. So you overwhelm the signal that they're using. And what this means is effectively whoever is on that ship piloting it, which when you're inside the port, the person that is piloting that is the harbor pilot. And this is governed by maritime law. This is not something that is random or arbitrary. There's an official line of demarcation for any ship that's coming into the port. Before you cross that line, the harbor pilot has to come up. He has to board the ship. He has to go. He reports only to the ship's captain. There's a formal transfer. There are formal words prescribed by maritime law that are spoken between the harbor pilot and between the ship's captain. The captain hands over formal control of the ship, and then you have the pilot that's in charge. Then when the ship is leaving the harbor, right, because once you're in the harbor, that is, there's complex maneuvers that are required, and that is not trusted to the captain of every ship that comes in. You are trusted and trained harbor pilot who is responsible for that. And so then when the ship is going to leave the port, right, which it, you can see in the video that the port is behind the ship, right? So as it's leaving the port, when it crosses the second official line of demarcation, at that point, the harbor pilot has now handed, under maritime law, he has handed control of that ship back to the ship's captain. And the ship is supposed to follow its GPS signal. So the pilot on board, now, when that pilot is on board, a complex maneuver like that has to be handled by the harbor pilot. So he's watching his GPS signal, and it's telling him that he is on course, that everything is fine. But now he's looking at what he sees, and it doesn't look the same as what's on the GPS. And it's the middle of the night. Many people are asleep. What has probably happened at that point, that's what happens normally, is a ship comes into the harbor, it offloads its cargo, it gets reloaded. There is, again, very specific things that have to be carried out. This is usually, you know, this takes a lot of time. It's usually an exhausting period. And so the crew is tired. They've gone to sleep. We've got the night shift on. They're there, and everyone else is out of it. And what the harbor pilot and the crew are now looking at is as they're getting closer and closer, they're realizing, wait a minute, we're not in the channel. What we're seeing with our own eyes doesn't map what's on the GPS, but the GPS is telling us we're still on course. And so then they start to panic, right? And as they realize that they're in a really bad situation, they're now trying, in all likelihood, right, what they're trying to do is everything that they can to stop it. But at a certain point, physics takes over. The weight of the ship, the weight of the cargo, the speed of the water, the sharpness of the turn, there's nothing that you can do at that point to change the trajectory that you're on. So you, even the harbor master who's sitting there like an air traffic controller, who's watching everything that's going on, he's, when he's watching it, it looks like you're on course. So he is not aware. And there's a delay between that reaction. So essentially, this is not a complex operation. It, in some respects, the hacking is quite simple and easy to do. We are very familiar with the technique. And for them to rule it out from the very beginning is profoundly dishonest, according to the sources that I have, many sources I'm talking to.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Now that we are launching into a general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch yet. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need is to stop procrastinating and go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie and use offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which gives you incredible coverage without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message, just like we all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious liberty, sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. So get your free month of service today at patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Get a free month of service when you use offer code SPRING24. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Amazing folks. Check it out. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. So Laura, what foreign actor do you think is most likely to have pulled this off? And could other U.S. assets potentially be at risk?
Yes, Charlie, you know, I don't have specific information on who was responsible, but there are very obvious actors, right, that have come up repeatedly in conversations, China being one of them, of course. And if you, what is it, to me, what is most relevant here is if you look at this in the context of what else has been happening to critical infrastructure in the United States, according to a number of intelligence professionals that I have spoken to, some of whom are specialists in maritime and cyber warfare, what they, and critical infrastructure particularly, what they see is a stacking operation. These are stacking operations, right? Where you're having, where they're probing and testing with, say, for example, the train derailment in Ohio. How do Americans and the American systems and states react when you're exposed to toxic chemicals? What is it? They get you a shelter in place order and so on and so on. So they're testing to see how we react, but they're also shaping operations, right? Because you're shaping and preparing the battlefield. And for some people who are specialists in predictive behavioral analysis, right, what concerns them right now is that when they connect the dots of the train derailments and the fires at various food plants in the U.S., the Ohio, you know, chemical disaster, the now the port in Baltimore, and that whole strategic corridor of the I-95 that connects the north and south for hazardous materials like fuel and propane and diesel chemicals and so on. Right. These things that are very important to the economy and that cannot just be moved on alternative roads or, you know, I mean, redirecting them to other ports is a massive undertaking and so on and so on. Right. So what they see when they connect all those dots is that these kind of operations that are preparing us so that we're looking at each of these operations in isolation. They're learning from each one of these operations, at these stacking operations. And then when they want to, they can carry out a series of these all at the same time. And what that is effectively designed to do would be to paralyze the United States. What is the advantage of paralyzing the United States, particularly at this moment when we're going into, you know, potentially the most important election in the history of this country? Well, that's very much obvious to a lot of people. But what is happening parallel to this, conversations that are happening at the United Nations, for example, according to other sources that I've spoken to who operate at that level, is they're having conversations about how important it is to bring in the regional powers like Canada and Mexico to save the United States, right? This increasing reliance on the concept of regional government. And this is also being applied in the immigration space, where you're seeing what's happening here is they're diluting the pool of Americans, the pool of people who understand what America stands for and means, by bringing in people that have no relationship to that culture and history. And then what that is paving the way for, according to people who've sat in meetings like this in the United Nations, that's paving the way for the concept of a regional government, because now you have all these people and you can say to them, well, wouldn't it be nice if your relatives, you know, from Mexico could just come here without having any trouble, and if you could do business more easily, and so on and so on. So regional government is the next step from sovereignty, and global government is the ultimate goal. But what are we looking at here? If you can feel the velocity increasing. What do I mean by that? Things are happening more and more quickly, right? Well, why is that? According to people that I've spoken to who are very familiar with these operations and tactics, we have been in a phase where the United States' resources have been very cleverly and expertly exploited in order to engineer a global outcome that these people see. And so they've exploited your diplomatic power, your tax dollars, you know, there's a whole litany of things. We are reaching the end of our usefulness in those terms in order to engineer the outcome they want. And our sovereignty and nationalism and pride in this country, the history, all of that is beginning to stand in the way. So what they're doing is they're, once we outlive our usefulness as the United States, they will move into another phase of the operation, which is to bring in regional government. And they always introduce these things fractionally, right? It's a term called fractionalization. They don't bring out, you know, the iPad that they already have the technology for that wraps around your arm and uses holograms. No, they bring out a brick phone, and then they bring out, you know, the flip phone, and then they bring out the first generation iPhone. And so they gradually condition us to the outcome that they want. This is behavioral engineering. We're being manipulated into going along with it. And what happens is they don't want the truth, because when people hear the truth, they know what's true and what's not true. They don't want me to put facts out there, because facts encourage people to start asking the right questions. I'm not trying to sway people. I don't care how much they attack me. I'm trying to give you the information you need so you copy this directive.
Laura Logan, excellent. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life, because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229, or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the preborn banner. Also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner. The man who should be Trump's chief of staff, who pulled off one of the most remarkable business accomplishments of the last few years, it is Devin Nunes, who is the man behind Truth Social, now ticker symbol DJT. Devin, welcome to the program.
Charlie, it's great to be with you.
So walk us through it all, Devin. That this thing looked like it was dead and flatlining on the operating table. Now it is on the public markets and doing very well. Tell us the story.
Well, I love that the DJT ticker symbol, because I think that of all things just infuriates the left and makes their heads explode. But Charlie, the reality here is that, you know, this should never happen in America. And this story really hasn't been told too much. And we don't like to just waste time and complain about the past, because look, moving forward, we have a great company. We have a great platform. We're going to do a lot of great things, building out the whole ecosystem for this country so that the internet never gets shut down. And how did we get to this point? I always like to tell people that President Trump didn't need a new company. I didn't need a new job. We built this for the American people and people around the globe. For what purpose? So that they can have free speech. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I think this is the longest business combination in history. But if it's not, it's got to be awfully darn close. We used a process called the SPAC process. So it's set up like a shell company. There's cash in the shell company. When this was announced, 400,000 Americans went and bought the stock, assuming that it would take kind of the standard 3-6 months, and then we would merge and we would have a nice company, and we'd go from an R&D company and to kind of a traditional startup. What happened is that we got held up for nearly 2.5 years. I think it's just unheard of. But one of the things, and we had lots of options, Charlie. We could have our True Social has been a great product. It's always continued to grow. We had plenty of other people that wanted it. But the one thing that President Trump and I didn't want to do is we didn't want to strand those 400,000 of Americans who believe in free speech, who understood the problem of Donald Trump and many others, millions of Americans, getting either outright kicked off like President Trump did of all social media, or a combination of being shadow banned. So, we first set out to create True Social. And our goal with True Social is pretty simple. We're trying to take the best of all platforms and put it into one. So whether it be Twitter, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, et cetera, we're putting that into the True Social platform. But we're not stopping there. The goal here is to make sure that none of these woke companies can ever shut us down. So we've built this block by block, brick by brick, so to speak, this kind of super highway over the internet that's wide open because we don't use any of the woke companies. Now, I will say, somebody that you're familiar with and you're broadcasting on the company right now, Rumble has been a critical partner for us. We were the first to beta test the Rumble Cloud. We beta tested the Rumble Advertising Center. And all of these components are so important working together with them because this is what allows us to stay away from the woke companies so that we don't get parlored. And I think you know what that means. For those of you who don't, there was a company called Parler.
It was a coordinated attack against the only alternative. And it happened right after January 6th. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, that was probably a multi-billion dollar company. And I still think of all the things that have happened, and there's been a lot of bad things, from the Russia hoax to the Ukraine impeachment hoax to all the horrific things we've seen. Now, maybe DOJ indicting Trump 400 times, that could be worse. But before that, it was that you had 30 major U.S. companies, tech providers, completely nuke Parler. Destroyed a $1 billion company overnight. They had zero recourse. And so when I left Congress, it was to essentially build something that could not happen to. And I think that's what sets us apart from the rest of the field is that, we truly are a free speech platform that does not rely on the woke companies, and we can't be shut down.
Yeah. Just talk about the resolve, because there was a fair amount of, it's all public. Regulatory hurdles to get this thing to the public markets. And finally, just talk about the response. The retail volume is extraordinary, Devin. I mean, I can't imagine that major institutions are buying the stock. I don't know. We'll find out when, reports are made available. This feels as if it's more of a retail surge. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's when we were, this was before it was our company. We were a private company, a private R&D company. But as we were out helping get the votes for the SPAC to extend its lifeline, Charlie, I could be wrong, but I don't think there was one institutional investor. So there was roughly 400,000 shareholders. There wasn't one. There wasn't one. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't one.
But in some ways, that actually is why you had a successful IPO, because there weren't a lot of institutions that could have sunk the stock, right? It's just kind of in some way built on the confidence of the American people. And it just I know that stocks are volatile. We're not doing investment advice for anyone watching. That's not what we're here. It's just, has there anything, I've never seen anything like this.
Look, I don't think there has been. You know, a lot of this stuff, you know, history's being written right now, you know, and, you know, like I haven't even had time at this point because we've got so much going on, like truly transforming into this startup company with real capital. That I haven't had time to even go back and study or look at the history or at all. But like I said, I think this is the longest transaction in history. I think it's the most investigated transaction in history. And I would argue to say we're probably the only transaction in history with essentially zero institutional investors. And look, what I like to say to people, look, this is your voice. This is your freedom. President Trump and I built this for the American people, and it's a way for, you know, for people to ensure that it's kind of an interesting investment because you're really investing in your constitutional rights. I don't want to be repetitive, but you know, we're the only company out there that can't be shut down by woke companies. I think that's saying something. And you know, our goal is to, you know, is to expand on all of this. A lot of people, and I get it, they always view Donald Trump as Twitter because, you know, the mean tweets. And I always laugh at people that say, well, I'd really like to support Donald Trump, but I don't like the mean tweets. Well, actually, Donald Trump hasn't tweeted in 3 years. So I'm not sure what you're talking about. So it becomes just part, you know, it's rinse and repeat with the left. And they've repeated these lies over and over and over again. But you know, the reality is that there's many people, this is their only avenue for social media, because they're not allowed it. Even though, you know, you've heard about Twitter, oh yeah, Twitter's wide open. You know, look, Twitter's not wide open. We've got, you know, I get messages every day from people on True Social that tell me they were never let back on to Twitter. So, and look, and with all that said, you have to remember, we're a mission-driven company. President Trump and I were clear that we said, look, Elon Musk is free to do it. Because, you know, everybody said, oh, is this going to hurt you? It's like, look, no, we're for free speech. We're for people. If Twitter wants to become a free speech platform, change its name to X, whatever they want to do, we support that. What we don't support are things like goofy community notes that Twitter has. We don't support the censorship that you've seen just in the last week, where conservatives are being censored on Instagram. We don't support, you know, TikTok and how dangerous that is in terms of the Chinese Communist Party influence. What we do support is anybody who wants to be on our platform, as long as they obey the law, they can be on our platform. And I think this has not been reported at all, or very little people have talked about it, but the Biden campaign is on True Social. Now, granted, they you know, mostly there just to attack President Trump, but that's okay. We welcome that. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, he's also on True Social. So, you know, as we move forward, I think we're the only game in town in terms of social media, and as you know, Rumble's the only game in town for live streaming.
Well, congratulations, Devin. It's amazing. Everyone needs to download the Truth Social app if you haven't already. And now public, ticker symbol DJT. And it's remarkable to see. Devin, congratulations. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. Great to be with you.
Thank you. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. As you know, I'm the author of the book, The College Scam. I don't drink wine, but what is a wine that just gets better and better with time? Not all wine does. Where's Andrew? He's like my wine guy. It's just, that's kind of the College Scam. It just gets better and it gets better and it gets better and it gets better. Wall Street Journal By the way, we have another book coming up this summer. It is great. Liberal Arts College is the latest campus to close. After failing to secure an emergency loan from the state, Birmingham Southern College in Alabama said Tuesday that it would cease operations this spring, adding to a growing list of vulnerable small colleges announcing closures. Now, look, I feel bad for people losing their jobs. That's not something I want to celebrate, but this is good news. We have way too many colleges in this country. We need a massive downsizing of higher education. Again, I feel bad for the janitors and the people that are just kind of bystanders that get caught in the crossfire here. That's not fun, but this is a good thing. Latest campus to close. They weren't able to provide value. We wrote this book, The College Scam, a couple years ago, and it keeps on selling. It just keeps on going there. And you guys could find it wherever. And we have a whole thing. If you give a gift to Turning Point, we'll send you a free thing. By the way, all proceeds, if you buy The College Scam, go to Turning Point USA. All proceeds go to Turning Point USA. And it's getting out there. When I go to these campuses, you know, some of our students are wearing these shirts that say college is a scam. They say, tell me why college is a scam. Very defensive over it. I would say there's a dialogue from UNLV. We have to get it. It's great. Not right now. It would take too long. But this one guy was very defensive of college. He said, it's not a scam. I said, well, how much are you paying? He said, oh, I'm on full scholarship. I said, yeah, it's not a scam if someone else is paying for college for you. So we taxpayers subsidize your four-year vacation of weed, free sex, and bad ideas. It's getting out, though. This is a TikTok video of a young lady. I don't think she read the book, The College Scam. But she's speaking our language. By the way, this is a consensus opinion of young people that are saying, why did I get these pieces of paper? Do you know that 52% of all graduates don't even use their degree once they graduate? It's irrelevant. Play cut 68.
Anyone explain to me how I have two degrees? I have two degrees. Oh, and a certificate. A little extra, right? I have a certificate. May not be a master's, but it's something extra along with the two degrees, you know? I'm trying to apply for jobs right now. And the thing is that the only person I have responding to me is a man from a tech company saying, hey, you want to answer some customer service problems? You want to answer some customer service calls? No, Bart, I don't want to answer your calls. No offense, but I'm a little more qualified than to just be sitting around answering your customer service calls, Bart, okay? I'm sorry, but Bart is the only one who's responding to me. So what am I supposed to do? And, you know, I'm looking down at these and I'm looking at them and I'm kind of wondering. I'm like, what was this for again? Oh, I don't know.
That young lady's been scammed. In some way, she's the victim. She was told by everybody, go to college, get the piece of paper. Go to college, graduate. You're going to be fine. More than half of people that go to college, they don't need to go. They end up getting a job that doesn't require a college degree. So what is the value proposition? You know what they tell me on campus? They'll tell me, well, it's a good networking. Yeah, you can meet people in other places other than in college. And I think I've done pretty well networking without college. Oh, it opens you up to new ideas. Is that what college should be about? Learning about North African lesbian poetry? That's the spirit of college. And I asked them, I said, do you guys really dive deep into the ideas of Western civilization? They say, yes. I say, okay, then tell me anything Aristotle believed. Tell me anything that Augustine or Aquinas, Hume, Locke believed. But they certainly know that America's racist. And they say that men give birth. College is a scam. Don't take my word for it. It is getting out. The word is getting out. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.